Oh, I saw Anthony around somewhere. Is he here?
Right.
Where's your hand? Oh, there you are. Okay, cool. Why don't you join us up at the table, too, if you've got a room? That would be very helpful.
And Dana Sanchez is here as well. She's one of the program administrators that does the ESG program.
Where's Dana Sanchez? Raise your hand, Dana Sanchez. There you are. Thank you very much. Okay. We're in a charged environment because of the stipulation, the housing stipulation. And so I'm assuming you all are prepared to discuss not only the plan, the action plan itself, but also issues that have arisen consistent with the stipulation. So if you could begin your presentation, but bear in mind those issues, I'd like you to go ahead.
Sure, hold on. We're trying to get it to sync up here because we had a blank screen here.
Oh.
There it is. Okay. We're now synced. All right. Good morning. You have before you a legislative package that would allow the county to apply for our 35th year of CDBG funding and additional funding for the emergency shelter grant and the home program by filing an amendment to the 2009 to 2013 consolidated plan, in that we would be filing a 2010 action plan. We are required by the federal government to file a five-year plan to account for what are the needs of the county, what we have to do, an analysis of the county's housing market, and a strategic plan for the next, really covering the five-year period, for what are the strategic needs and what are the priorities that the county is looking to address with its community and affordable housing funding. We are then required on an annual basis to update that plan by accounting for the specific program dollars that we get from the federal government that each year. All right, the program is specific this year for the Community Development Block Grants Program in the amount of approximately $6,378,000. I should preface by saying that the federal government, Congress, did adopt a budget late December. It was signed by the president right before Christmas. We don't have specific grant allocation dollars yet, so we don't know exactly how much we're applying for. But based on the fact that Congress did approve a budget, including an increase in the CDBG program, we are expecting somewhere between 7 and 7.5% increase to the CDBG program. Home was level funded, so we are expecting a grant, or we're expecting approximately 3% decrease because there are new slices of the pie. There's new entitlements each year. So we're expecting a home grant of approximately $1.8 million. And the emergency shelter grant, there are very limited grantees eligible for that program. So we're expecting approximately the same amount of $250,000. So this application and the action plan covers all three grant programs. Just a reminder here that this application covers 40 municipalities in the county. It's the Urban County Consortium. It does not include the four cities that have their own population of 50,000 or more: Yonkers, Mount Vernon, New Rochelle, and White Plains, and by choice, the town of Mount Pleasant. Mount Pleasant will once again have the opportunity to join the consortium for 2011. Usually the instructions come out in March, and we usually send them a letter sometime in late April or early May, giving them until sometime in early June to apply if they so wish. The municipalities that do belong, by the way, cannot opt out until 2012. All right, they are obligated for the full three-year period. So for 2009, we received applications of $42.3 million. I guess the sound is on this. We received a record 228 applications. Just to compare it with previous cycles, it was about 30 applications more than previously, and 60 more than we received in 2005. 33 of the 40 municipalities submitted applications. They submitted a total of 146 applications. 36 nonprofit agencies submitted 82 applications. So that's, in both cases, it's more than we had gotten in the previous cycles. Sorry about this, the noises. All right, the review associated with getting to where we are today, the original recommendations were presented for our three-year cycle for CDBG, were presented in January 2009. The board in 2009 did approve an application to cover 2009. We gave all municipalities and all nonprofits until July 1st, 2009 to update anything in their application. They had the opportunity to review our comments and to provide additional information. A number of them did by the July 1st deadline. We then had a public comment period that began with a public hearing on January 7th and closed on February 11th. During that time, we met with the Community Development Advisory Group, which is the citizens appointed from each municipality within the consortium. We met with the County Planning Board, we met with Urban County Council, and we submitted this package for your review. Our deadline to submit the application in a timely manner to HUD would be March 15th, 2010. Our priorities for funding for the CDBG program for this current 2009 to 2011 cycle are affordable housing, investment in sustainable communities, and opportunities for youth. Just to kind of refresh your memories about where, what are the most important municipalities that the CDBG program reaches out to, that based on their percentage of their populations in 2000 that were low and moderate income, these are the 10 neediest communities as it relates to the CDBG program. So we start with Port Chester with 65% of their population qualifying as low and moderate income. Things that we considered as we reviewed the applications, what percentage of the grant application that or project that they were looking to deliver would benefit low and moderate income persons or households. Their dollar of their match, there's a minimum of 25% match with our program. Some municipalities just automatically give us 50%. Others even put in more if they have other state grants. What's the timing of the grant, recognizing that this is a three-year program? Whether their other funding is in place and how much other funding they are in fact leveraging. The applicant's ability to complete projects and to complete multiple projects. And there are some, certainly some circumstances where some agencies that we deal with can't deliver more than one project in a given year. Our 2009 grant award was $5.9 million. When we came to you at this point last year, because Congress didn't adopt a budget until March of last year, we had no idea what our grant would be. So we projected a 10% cut. We actually got about $530,000 more than we expected. So we did get a total grant of the $5.9 million. The spreadsheet only changes once a year, and so the spreadsheet has, we're normally in the second year of the cycle, I would be coming to you and saying there's very, very few changes to the spreadsheet. In this case, there are many, many changes to the spreadsheet, partly because of the $530,000 extra last year. We also received an extra $1.5 million under the stimulus program. And then our 2010 projection, because we're expecting 7% more than we received last year, it's another $417,000 more than we received in 2009. That is what we are expecting. So collectively, it is approximately $1.7 million more than originally expected of extra grants. I'm sorry, $2.7 million in the spreadsheet here. Our 2010 grants, from that we subtract our administrative costs, our program delivery, and our housing services, which is our rehab program that we actually run in-house. So we have approximately $3.5 million available for grants. On the spreadsheet, the multi-page spreadsheet that you received, are the recommendations for how we expect to lay out those grants. We also took a look at 2011 because there were some projects that last year we were recommending them for 2010. The timing of those projects is no longer appropriate for 2010, so we've now pushed them back to 2011. In a couple cases, we actually moved forward projects from 2011 and moved them forward to 2010. And just the last note here is that the housing services also includes an application that Port Chester put in for a housing rehabilitation program. So there's approximately 1.5 extra in the additional funding, just specifically, you know, again, for what we're looking here. 2010 is the only year subject to approval. I'm not asking for your approval of 2011. There will be additional changes, I'm sure, between now and then. Between last year and this year, the changes on the spreadsheet, there are 5 new projects in 2009, plus an additional 7 that were funded through the stimulus program. There are 15 new projects now being recommended in 2010. There are 6 projects that are recommended for additional funding because they weren't fully funded before, but you know, we now have the ability to make sure they get the full funding that they need. One project was moved from 2009 to 2010. That's the Tarrytown Music Hall bathrooms, an accessible bathroom. Five projects were moved from 2010 to 2011. Two of those were in Greenberg, two of those were in Yorktown, and one of those was in Croton. And then there were two projects moved from 2011 to 2010. I know one of them was the gazebo, the riverfront pavilion in Peekskill. And then one project was found infeasible. There was a senior patio recommended in the village of Portchester for last year that they, when we actually really laid it out, we actually found that they would have lost their parking lot to be able to make that happen. So they asked us to not move forward with that project. Funding constraint, we have to follow the rules here. No more than 20% of the grant each year can be spent on planning and administrative expenses. With the recommendations we have before you, we are at 19.7%. No more than 15% can be spent on public service activities. These include our housing counseling, these include our senior bands, so anything related to public services rather than the sticks and bricks kinds of programs. So we are currently at 8.7% with the recommendations. And at least 70% of the project funds must benefit low and moderate income populations. We are approximately 100% because we have no slum and blight projects in here. Of the 228 applications that were received in all at this point, 97 of them are now recommended for funding. 44 projects were now funded in 2009, 41 in 2010. And we're recommending right now 32 for 2011, but again, we'll get to that next year. There are now 67 successful municipality applications and 30 from the nonprofits. Toward our affordable housing priority, we have 11 projects that are recommended for funding. These are mostly housing counseling services, although there is some rehabilitation to some existing housing developments. We also have 18 projects that meet the criteria of sustainable communities. Those are where we're revitalizing streetscapes, where we are doing some drainage projects, and replacing some playgrounds in areas that are considered low and moderate income areas. And then there are 12 projects recommended to provide services for youth. So if you'd like, I'll move right on to home. Please. And then we can go to all questions at the end. Okay, for the home program, this is our program for the construction of new and fair and affordable housing. Our estimation for 2010 is $1.8 million. Again, this is approximately, we're projecting a 3% decrease, but we're not sure. The county has historically used this money for the new construction of projects rather than the other things that it's eligible for. It actually is eligible to run a tenant-based rental assistance program, like Section 8, but we've determined not to use it that way. And it's also eligible for the rehabilitation of multifamily units. We have had some circumstances where we've used that, but really our priority is recognizing we have limited construction dollars to complete fair and affordable housing projects. We like to use this funding for that. Applications are funded on a first-ready, first-served basis, not on first come, first served. There are some applications for fair and affordable housing, as many of you know, that take years before they are in fact ready to go. And we do have spending requirements on that, this and that. We must commit the funding within 2 years and spend it within five. So there are very tight constraints from the federal government's regulations about spending these funds. That's why we will not actually award the money until the project really is ready to go. We are required each year to spend 15% of our grant on CHOTA, or Community Housing Development Organization, projects. We do have a number of qualified CHOTOs in our county. Some of the housing authorities have created these organizations. AHOME has created a CHOTO as well. So the projects should be determined again, because at this point we don't know which projects will be ready to move forward. A number of our projects are looking for either tax credits or some other amount of funding that needs to be in place before we'll commit our funding to it.
What does CHOTA stand for?
Community Housing Development Organization. So there will then be, if we take out the administrative expenses, 10%, and the program delivery, which is our partial salaries for our housing staff, there is $1.2 million available for other projects for new construction. The emergency shelter grant is the final grant in the application. This is approximately $250,000 a year. This program has been around since 1987. It is a program that serves people who are homeless or in imminent danger of becoming homeless. The funding goes only to nonprofit agencies. As you know, there's a network of eviction prevention housing organizations in our county, and so we hold an annual RFP and make recommendations based looking on the whole availability of other funding out there and the agency's ability to reach the populations within the consortium. So it is a competitive application each year. $75,000 of the $250,000 is recommended for homeless prevention services. $65,000 is the staff associated with running those homeless prevention programs. $97,000 for operating programs, which includes for providing rent for the furniture share house out at the county airport. We're allowed to keep 5% $12,000 for administrative expenses. Our recommendations would be 6 nonprofit agencies to provide eviction prevention services. There's a part-time recreational worker at Grasslands, at the Grasslands shelter, and it's the rent for the food pantries, it's the operations for the food pantries for the Westchester community of the hungry and homeless. And then it's the rent for the furniture share house. So this is the recommendations for the free program.
I don't feel that bad about this.
It's Monday morning. All right, this is our application.
Okay, if we turn back the lights on, I appreciate it. The presentation, I think, is very effective, concise, and if anyone would like to have printed copies of this, we will provide them. I don't know whether we'll provide them in color or not, but we will provide them in relatively short order. But please see Mrs. Dodds to pick up copies. Dodds, if you'd raise your hand, please, just so they can see who you are. Barbara, if you'd raise your hand so they can see who you are. Thank you. Not Barbara. Ms. Travis, please. Give me a hard time. All right, let's have comments by members of either committee or both committees, yeah, if the case may be.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, this is on the surface just directly from the presentation, but I think we did notice that the state, when they were doing cuts last year, they targeted youth programs, mm-hmm. you know, especially those that were preventive. The opportunities for youth that you were alluding to through this program, are they sort of to make up for the neglect? How did youth make it in there? I'm happy it is, because without youth we have no future. So
keeping in mind that these applications were filed in 2008, and one of the prohibitions of CDBG is that you cannot supplant other funding. So if other funding is lost, you really can't be using CDBG to put it in its place. CDBG really is supposed to be new programs. So we were certainly cognizant of what the state has proposed, same with the mortgage foreclosure counseling, where the state budget has proposed eliminating most of the mortgage foreclosure counselors. But we had to work within the existing applications that were received rather than accepting new applications.
Because I see it appropriate. I think a lot of the non-for-profits that serve youth are really hurting, and to me, being from the healthcare area, I know preventive health and preventive everything is better than actually dealing with the cure directly.
Sure.
Well, I am glad to see the focus on opportunities for youth, and I also wanted to go to the first ready, first serve, which is the first time I'm hearing this term being used, that Mike create an opportunity for the first ready part, a particular municipality that can get ready because it has better funding than others to be ready. Is this fair? Or do you see it fair?
Well, I'll give you an example. We just last year received building permits on a project in Greenberg that was certainly eligible. Okay, we had actually used CDBG money to stabilize the site, but it took us 15 years to get that building permit. All right, and so recognizing that, and there's a 2-year limit to commit the money and 5 years to spend it, we would have given the money back to the federal government if we had, in fact, committed the money to this project in Greenberg that's now still under construction right now. It's not even completed yet. So that's why we have had to evaluate whether we can commit it up front. There's certainly projects that are eligible that we can give guidance to municipal or to either an entity, a developer, or a nonprofit, or the municipality in terms of whether it's eligible for a home program. But it doesn't make sense for us to commit it and then potentially lose it.
But everybody gets the same information.
Absolutely.
Everybody knows that the minute they're ready, the likelihood of their project being served are there. And then I'm just looking to make sure that it's a fair play for everybody that's submitted.
Sure. We have printed fact sheets out for each one of our programs, including the home program. So it is very clearly stated how the funding and at what point the county commits its home funding to a project.
Okay. Mr. Nolan.
Thank you for the presentation. We all know this is a great program. Under the settlement agreement in the ADC lawsuit, we have certain obligations with respect to the disbursement of CDBG funds.
Correct.
So I have three questions that, address the issue of compliance with that settlement agreement and our general obligations under the CDBG grant mm-hmm. HUD programs. One, what certifications as to affirmatively furthering fair housing are we submitting? Or are these applications under?
Under the consolidated plan, there is a certification for us to sign. And I actually have the draft action plan with me so I can actually show you.
Right.
The language related to affirmatively further fair housing is the same annual language that we submitted with the action plan with the consolidated plan itself. It says that jurisdiction will affirmatively further fair housing, which means it will conduct an analysis of impediments to fair housing choice within the jurisdiction, take appropriate actions to overcome the effects of any impediments identified through that analysis, and maintain records reflecting that analysis and actions in this regard.
By submitting these applications, are we complying with those certifications?
We are, in fact, undertaking an analysis of impediments right now. We have a consultant under contract. We have met with that consultant. They are at work, so we are, in fact, conducting the analysis of impediments. On an annual basis, we do report to the federal government in our CAPR the actions that we have taken within the last year to affirmatively further fair housing, so we do report on that.
So we do
keep the records, yes.
So you are representing to these committees today that we are in compliance, that the County of Westchester is in compliance with the certifications that you just read.
Correct.
Second question, what steps have we taken? With the application, I noticed there are many projects. You mm-hmm. summarized them. A good number of those projects are in communities or municipalities that fall within the eligibility criteria of the settlement, right, that are below mm-hmm. 3%. Newcastle, North Castle, East Chester, to name three.
But not all of them get recommended for grants.
Okay, are there any municipalities being recommended for grants?
Okay, of the municipalities in the 2010 application that are being recommended for grants, let me start with those that are not in the eligible areas, you have Elmsford, Greenberg, Ossining Village, Peekskill, Porchester, and Sleepy Hollow. Those are not in the 31 eligible communities. Of those that are in, you have six that are in the eligible communities. You have Harrison, North Castle, Pleasantville, Rybrook, Tarrytown, and Tuckahoe. Now, Tarrytown and Tuckahoe are two of our top 10 neediest communities. They only fall within category C, 7C. All right, so there are only four municipalities of the 29 that are recommended for grants in 2010 that fall within the eligible communities of 7A and 7B.
Okay, what steps have we taken to assure ourselves that those municipalities are meeting their commitments to affirmatively further fair housing in their cooperation agreements?
Okay, we have, last year we actually had a meeting with Harrison, and we identified a potential site in Harrison for development. But again, subject to local review, same with North Castle. There's a developer with a site available and ready to go. And in Pleasantville and Rybrook, both communities have already undertaken fair and affordable housing projects and have already met with us to identify additional properties that they would like to consider for development.
So four of the communities, four in mm-hmm. eligible communities.
John, could you actually say which ones those are?
Harrison, North Castle, Pleasantville, and Rybrook. are the four of the 7A and 7B categories. You also have Tarrytown and Tuckahoe.
Which are in the 7C.
Which are in 7C.
Correct. So the other
both of which both communities, by the way, have already done fair and affordable projects already, so, as have Pleasantville and Rybrook.
So the other communities that are eligible, and I noticed Eastchester was listed here, you're not recommending it.
There's no grant recommended for 2010.
But what about like Bedford? Aren't we recommending $150,000?
Bedford is
a new project. That's why I didn't have it on there.
Giving
so yes, Bedford is an eligible area under 7A and B. Bedford has actually already completed a fair and affordable project.
But they're still in our eligible
communities. Still, yes, they have blocks that are eligible. They have a number of blocks that are not. We've met with Bedford, though. So they are identifying additional sites for some further developments. Well, I missed that one.
The blocks that you're referring to in Bedford are primarily around the women's prison and certain others in Bedford.
And downtown.
Well, in Katona.
Yeah, downtown or not?
By and large, the town of Bedford is Illyria.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of areas in Bedford that are eligible. Yep, they're right. Looking over on McLean Street. There are a number of units in Katona, Bedford Hills. It's townwide.
Yep. So we have five, then, that are in the 7A and 7B.
Correct.
House in North Castle, Pleasantville, Rybrook, and Bedford. Back up for a second. The cooperation agreement provides that municipalities undertake to do certain things, and it states the county is prohibited from expending urban county funding for activities in or support of any local government that does not affirmatively further fair housing within its own jurisdiction or that impedes the county's action to comply with its fair housing certification. So in determining that these five communities who are included in the 2010 grants and for whom you're recommending CDBG funds, what's the criteria we are using, the county is using, to ascertain or to confirm that they are complying with the cooperation agreements and that the county can accurately certify that these communities are affirmatively furthered from fair housing? What's the criteria? That they're discussing with us a possible project? That they've submitted for a project? What's the criteria we're using?
At the current time, the criteria that we're using is that we are in active discussions with the municipality about conducting a new development within their communities, eliminating preferences, and trying to streamline the approval process. In addition, within the original implementation plan that was submitted was language that was going to be strengthening up our contracts with those municipalities to actually put the language directly in each individual contract with that municipality so that each project would then, if we find that municipality to not be in compliance, we could then get the funding back based on the fact that each specific contract is not in compliance,
so
if in fact we find them.
Our agreements with those municipalities will provide they have to give the money back if they do not actually develop a project?
If in fact we find that they are not in compliance.
And how do you define compliance?
That's what we're having active discussions with municipalities. And as well in the implementation plan, it is proposed that by January of 2011 that they will have adopted language to
right.
be able to accept CDBG funds.
Okay, yeah. Paragraph 25D of the settlement requires that the county include in the implementation plan a policy to condition the use of public funds, including CDBG funds, on commitments in the funding agreement that requires municipalities to ban local residency requirements and preferences and other selection preferences that do not affirmatively further fair housing. Offer the county a right of first refusal on land acquired in rent to be used for affordable housing, and actively further implement the settlement stipulation in order through land use regulations. So, have the municipalities, those five municipalities, in fact, adopted those policies?
No, they have all just been given the ordinance. They were all sent the model ordinance. Mm-hmm. And the planning board only just adopted the policy on February 2nd. So
we don't know whether they have, if we're submitting for CDBG funds for these municipalities, we don't know whether, or they have not yet adopted these policies that are
correct.
A condition of their getting funds.
Correct.
Does that mean if they don't adopt the policy, they won't get the funds that you're submitting for in this application?
Potentially, we could find that we don't go to contract. We have to evaluate that. That hasn't been decided yet, to my knowledge.
Is there a timetable when they have to adopt these municipalities?
January 31st, 2011.
So
we could have given the 2010 funds out already?
Correct. But again, within the new contracts for 2010 is going to be the additional language that if they don't affirmatively be further, then we can get the money back.
Give us a copy of that.
It's actually in the implementation plan.
What do we do then? Tear the building down if they don't give us money?
The contract is in
the language that's adding being added to the contract is in the implementation plan.
No, we want to see the contract.
I'll get you the same.
Yeah, okay. I think we want to see the contract.
Okay, all right.
In fact, I think it would be helpful if you could give us a memorandum that actually confirms all the representations that you've made to us today. I think this board, I think these committees, and I think our board is extremely sensitive to the provisions of the settlement agreement, and we want to make sure that we have done all the due diligence necessary to assure ourselves that the county's in compliance. So thanks.
Thank you. Mr. Abernathy, on point?
Yes, on point. I would like to reiterate the legislator Nona's concerns. And I wanted to ask, what's the timing on this?
I'm
just delay this until we...
distribute a memo I did that just asked these questions so that we have a record.
Does this have to be... Is this urgent?
March 15th.
March 15th. Can we hold this until Mr. Nona's concerns are satisfied?
Our problem is that we have to pass this by the meeting of March 1st in order to meet the March 15th deadline, unless we were to do a special...
Then I have two suggestions.
So, we therefore have basically this week to get it done.
I got it.
Right.
So then, is it possible for us to develop some language that we put in here, which incorporates Mr. Nona's concerns? Because I think I think he's on to something. And the second point I'd like to make is I think some of these monies should be used to help those communities that are going forward. I have two communities that are really sticking their necks out, going forward with very aggressive plans. One of them is Ardsley, for example, and I see there's no money in here for them in the future. But if their development happened, they're going to need some money. And we met with the developer, the guys upstairs met with the developer, and they've got 22 units that they're trying to put together for a small village.
But
that's
is that a
lot.
Separate pot of money?
Well, yeah. No, but my point is there any way that some of these monies can be used to help these projects? I noticed Dobbs Ferry is another one. Now, you've given Dobbs Ferry some street funds.
Correct.
And that's probably in the area where they've come in with the project, so I see some tie-in there. I'd like to see more go to that community, because we're going to have a problem. $50 million is not going to be enough. If there's any way that we can use any of these monies to reward those communities that are going to be going forward with housing, then I would like to see that happen. I'd like to see that to be one of the standards.
I think it's fairness of... That which we do for 2010 is not going to affect a project which is currently under discussion. 2011, I think, would be the more appropriate time, would it not?
That might be. I'm just raising the issue. I don't know how we deal with it. You might be correct.
Mr. Drummond, would that be an appropriate description?
I agree. Plus, if you look at each application that we receive from each of these communities, there is a comment under there as to why that project was not recommended. All right. It still has to meet the criteria related to the CDBG program in terms of, are we replacing sidewalks just because they want to replace them? Have they really lived their useful life as opposed to,
Except I'm looking for some way to piggyback on what Mr. Nona was saying. Number one, I think the requirements have to be there. They've got to be doing something to qualify for the money. Number two, if they do, I'd like to find some way to put some money into the community so it eases the burden of what they're doing.
Okay.
You all recognize, I've made this point several times with my colleagues, especially for a small village like Ardsley, 22 units has a major impact on the school district, has a major impact on the services of this tiny little village. And I think they deserve to be rewarded every way we can.
Well,
if they're
not
going to go
rewarded,
forward.
But reinforced.
Thank you. That's
right.
A better word.
Okay, Mr. Regalski, on point.
But to that point, I don't want to get in a big debate on this thing, but with all due respect to my good friend, you say we want to help to reward or reinforce the reason, and I guess all my communities on this list, so we're here because these communities didn't do things, allegedly, over the years, and so I wouldn't necessarily go back, and now that they're trying to do something, with all due respect, to say, we need to reward them, reinforce them. One could argue that if 6 years ago some of these municipalities, not necessarily had done some things, we might not be where we are. So the language of we want to help everybody, but I'm not sure I would interpret those municipalities that are now on the list to do things necessarily rewarding them. We got in trouble because some of those communities are on our list. So I just
ladies and gentlemen, I think we can spin this one into a lot of sidelines.
I have one additional point, if I can. And that is, some of these projects that they're talking about now won't happen unless the money's there. These small communities don't have the money. And you're going to find this around the county. They don't have the tax base to be able to provide incentives to developers and to help them get by. Now, unless we're going to use the $50 million for that.
Well, if I may, to this point, there are other pots of money, though, too, like New Homes Land Acquisition Fund and other things.
And the other thing is, the reason we maintain a planning department is to take all of this into consideration and make that aspect of it happen. This is one product, which is one stream of money. It's total is $5 million, including all the administrative overhead. So we aren't necessarily going to solve all the problems of the world through this particular program, but the sensitivity that the members have expressed, I think, is something that the department shares, and certainly the previous administration shared, and I fully expect that the current administration is sharing. So I don't see any
question on this issue.
I'm sorry. Pete?
No, I'm just saying there's a hand back there.
Mr. Nunziata, if you can hang on for a sec.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
One more question.
Okay, Tom, finish off.
Are we doing 2011 here?
No. That was, right, she so made that point in the beginning.
Okay, thanks. So the numbers that are in here for 2011
are just out there as recommendations.
Coming
they may very
the
well
pipeline.
Change.
Next year.
Coming through the pipeline. Ms. Meyer. Well,
yes, I think I just want to underscore everything that Legislator Nona said. I think we are extremely sensitive, both as a legislative body, as committees, to the need to basically learn from our experience and to make sure that we are doing everything possible to further fair and affordable housing. And I think we need to make that point every step of the way, including making sure that we're not doing business as usual. I had one other question with regard to your presentation. You showed in the public service project area, I don't know if you're off the air, but it looked like we had room for growth there.
Right.
Is there anything we can do to, that's all dependent on who applies to us through the consortium. We can't do anything to further that.
Are there applications that would also fit in there that haven't been funded? Yes, probably there's a couple of them, but given who the percentage of Lomond people that they benefit, or given the nature of their costs, they were not recommended by the full panel, you know, the full group that was reviewing the applications.
All right, those were mine.
Mr. Harkin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Quick question on a specific project. You've got, on page 10, you have Lewisboro, the Oak Ridge Wastewater Treatment Plant. There's looks like money in there for 2009, but none for 2010 and 11.
Those are the columns of what they requested.
So, but they were not.
They were not successful, mostly because the work had already been completed, and so we.
So ones that are zeroed out were not the acceptable.
Right, it's
gotcha.
The following three columns that was recommended.
Application incomplete, not eligible.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Right, Mr. Ryan.
Thank you, Mr. Burton. Yeah, just very quickly, I mean, a couple people have mentioned that, you know, we're sensitive to all this. We're sensitive to it because it's the first time it's come up since the whole body of work was performed by this board to address the ADC suit. And most of us remember that we're probably talking about a time frame of somewhere around August through November, and then work that had to be done as administrations change December to January. So, you know, obviously we're going to be concerned about it because CDBG was an element of the discussion. But we also need to recognize that right now in this concern, a number of, you know, good points have been made. And we have to kind of make note of these because this is really probably our application in the transition going from a period of time that was under review where we acknowledged certain things, we settled, and now we're transitioning into a new period. And this is the application that's got a kind of a foot on each, you know, in each area. And so because we had no intention of having the process come to a halt. The feds didn't expect that. We know we don't want to do that. The program is too valuable to our municipalities. These things move on. But it's understandable. There'll be some good comments and suggestions made at this meeting, and perhaps some others, that we need to make sure we keep on file for consideration as, you know, as we move as we move forward. I think that you know, as usual, our process identifies very well for worthwhile projects that help out localities, and we seem to be in a position to be able to make yet another investment to help our communities out. And I certainly would be urging the committee to move forward.
Thank you, Mr. Wright. Mr. Rogowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Legislator Nona certainly raised a lot of the right questions. Several legislators have stated for the record that this board is extremely sensitive, and that's great. I think we all feel that way. If we stated for the record, but I think that's not enough. You know, we have to learn from what happened. Is what we accepted is what happened. And it seems to me we're being asked to do the underwriting for the federal government. We make a certification, as we've done all these years, that when the county exec signs, the county exec is certifying on behalf of the county that all these municipalities are furthering fair and affordable housing. We're not, and that's just the way this program works. This application has that paragraph on there. So we, as much as I'd like to go back to the feds and say, you're concerned about that, you do the underwriting. You go to those municipalities. You make that judgment. But in fact, we are making this subjective, and that's what I want to get to. It appears that Mr. Nona started asking, how do we know? How do we know? And Norma said there's meetings, active meetings. But look at the criteria, what we go through. It's still somewhat subjective. So because we're doing this underwriting, I wonder, Mr. Chairman, is it appropriate, and maybe we're asking this, I know it's an enormous specific question, on the applications that the municipalities send to us when they give us these programs, are they signing a certification that includes the Federal Housing Act and that they are affirmatively pursuing fair and affordable housing? Is that a certification that the municipalities make to us on the application they submit to us?
On their applications, no. They signed it in their cooperation agreements.
You want a version? You want a copy of the cooperation?
So the cooperation agreement with the county, so it's not in their application, but somewhere along, that's what I'm trying to say, somewhere along the line, there is a specific certification.
Correct.
That's happened always in the past as well?
Mm-hmm. And that's why we're looking to bring it more into specific contracts now, so that...
Well, yeah, it's not that maybe the feds missed the fact that they made those certificates. They came after us. So municipalities signed the same certification the county executive did?
In the cooperation agreement is the language that requires that the municipalities affirmatively further.
But a specific certification that they are doing that they do
no.
not sign. It's just a statement in the agreement that they're supposed to be doing that.
So
but they don't.
With the county, it's not an agreement with the federal.
Right, but it's also.
Right.
But it's also not what you call a certification. One of the paragraphs in the agreement says they're doing that, but when they sign it, they're not. I mean, there's the county exec signing specific. I hereby certify that the towns do not. That's what I'm trying to get at. So, I suggested, Mr. Chairman, as we're trying to objectively show the federal government to Mr. Nolan's questions, what are the criteria? How are we making this decision? Because my concern is, you know, we. 3 years from now. Mm-hmm. Some new bureaucrat shows up in Washington and starts reviewing the old files and goes, oh, in 2010, look what the West said. They filed this other CDBG application. The county exec made a certification. How do we know the county exec did what he did? And they come back and file a freedom of information request, some other plaintiffs out there. So to the extent we can objectively, in the record, show to answer your question, John, so I'm saying one easy one, it seems to me, we're asked to sign, and we're not even in the loop, if towns or municipalities are coming to us, is it appropriate, is it fair to ask the municipality to make that certification? That seems to be the key thing. So that's one suggestion. I hope it's fair to ask them to do that, but at least we can say we were relying to some extent. We asked the questions, but in addition to asking questions, their chief executive officer of their municipality specifically certified to the county and maybe to the feds that, in fact, they're doing that. So that's one comment, because I'm very concerned that we are doing the underwriting. I would go a step further, and again, I'm not trying to be harsh on the municipalities, but, you know, we find ourselves where we find ourselves today. And my colleague, we had to debate hundreds of millions of dollars, potential penalties. Is it fair to say to those municipalities who actually are taking money to sign an indemnification? We ask on our housing projects, legacy projects, you're going to promise so many houses. If you don't build the houses, we ask them to indemnify the county and pay us back if those houses aren't built. So, again, in the context, all frankly to help us build our record to what we're doing and how we're trying to make the case 3 years from now, we can prove that we did an appropriate underwriting. Not looking to scare or burden the municipalities, I'm just asking the question, is it appropriate, because we do it in our legacy programs to some extent, an indemnification that if we get hit, we turn around and go back to that municipality that didn't do what they said. You know, someone's going to judge 3 years from now that they didn't do, in someone's opinion, what they said they might do. So certifications, indemnifications, we're sensitive, but I think unless we are able to show some bureaucrat 3 years from now that rather than just saying we're sensitive, we took certain steps and had certain debates and certain knockout negotiations with the communities, to say at least we did what we could. I mean, we got burned, let's be honest. We got burned, rightly or wrongly, we got burned, and now we're under the obligation to say if we're going to go through this again, what's fair and appropriate to do? I don't want to be overly burdensome, but what's fair and appropriate, and what's to show our sensitivity. It's one thing to say, Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to make those comments. I don't know what the answer is.
Ms. Bowen, your response.
We'll have to explore it with the law department.
Our problem is that we have to pass this next Monday, if we're going to make this application. Therefore, how can we reasonably expect to be able to put this together with a legal opinion and language? Mm-hmm. I'm not altogether sure that's reasonable, Mr. Nolan.
I just want to follow up on...
I'm sorry, because I just thought you were on this particular point.
On this particular, I kind of agree that I think, number one, we want to protect the taxpayers of Westchester County and not have them hit with potential other lawsuits. But secondly, we also want to protect the municipalities, and they should know that this isn't free money, that if they're going to get CDBG grants, they are going to... They're taking on certain obligations, which maybe they weren't aware they were taking on in the past years. But the problem is the county, as Mr. Rogowski said, underwrites those obligations. So I don't know why in the next week the municipalities that are eligible under the settlement agreement cannot execute their own certifications.
So they're fully aware that they are committing,
making certain commitments in return for these funds.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're not going to be able to call a board meeting with a public hearing and all the rest of it.
Most municipalities can call a special... Well, they're signing these
agreements. Do you really want to try to do that in the next 5 days?
I could suggest that we change the language of this, of our legislation, to make it contingent upon a signature on the certification that you want, rather than rush them to do it. Just make the disbursement. There you go.
I would agree with your
point. Yes.
I think that's the way to do it, is to make...
So before we go to A&C, you would like to see that.
Absolutely. Before the board passes it.
Absolutely.
Before we pass it.
No, no, you're talking about we put
once
that
they got the money.
Once it's passed, then it's became
so our legislation.
Once we give out the money, has language in it that incorporates the concerns of Legislator Nona and Legislator Rogowski. And then we pass our legislation. The target is for Monday night. And then it's up to you to enforce that language of our law
before dispersing
the money. Right.
That's our agreement.
And I think we would also like, I would like, I don't know if everyone else agrees, the memorandum requested that basically goes through the fact that we are satisfied that the county, either the planning department or the county executive's office has satisfied itself that these municipalities are meeting requirements of the stipulations or are meeting the requirements of the cooperation agreements and the certifications that we're submitting are accurate.
We're going to need a drafting subcommittee to
meet
on this.
County attorney's office present?
County attorney's office. I don't see anybody regularly here from the county attorney. Is there anybody here from the county attorney's office? Thank you. All right. John, would you and Tom please constitute yourself as a subcommittee on this matter to work with both Norma and the county attorney's office, and necessarily the county executive's office.
Except I'm leaving tomorrow night for a week and a half out of town, so I don't have much time.
If the two of you would get together and work on that,
Mr. Chairman, I have a final follow-up.
I just want to nail this particular point down, though. If we're going to get this done, then it's going to get done today or at worst tomorrow morning.
Mm-hmm.
Is this And then where are we going to put this? Where is this particular paragraph going to go?
No,
it
can't go
Let me just get this
particular answer. We have the committee report, which is not where it's going to go. So the question is, where is it going to go?
In the act.
All right. In the act.
Reflected in the committee report.
All right.
But the operative language has to be in the act.
Fine. Chairman Alvaro.
Just to clarify, we do have a subcommittee on litigation from the budget committee that we don't need to create yet another subcommittee.
Oh, no, yes, you're right. This is more of a drafting committee than a legal committee,
right,
just to get wording that we would amend this.
Why don't we just tell the county attorney?
We're
supposed to have the county attorney. You think that would be the
solution? I find it odd that they're not present.
I think so.
All right, well, but we didn't ask them to come, so I'm sure that we'd do this.
Yeah, but John, it's going to have to be you and me to tell them what it is they need to do.
All right.
Can I follow up on this?
Then I think, John, if I will call the county attorney and ask him to work with you and Tom today. Is that appropriate? Okay, Ms. Drummond, you'll be participating in this thing as well. All right, Mr. Gaffney.
Yeah, just to follow it up, I mean, I appreciate that, I think it probably is, at a minimum, asking that certification. But again, it seems to me, we've been down this road. Certification is all well and good. We made a certification. County Executive Spanner made a certification. Didn't really win the day, the certification. So, again, I think the certification is first step in our underwriting procedure. But I'm wondering, timing is what it is. But again, we have a responsibility to protect at least the county taxpayers versus the municipal taxpayers. To what extent, again, Norm explained there's active negotiations and all that, but to what extent should we go to these municipalities and say, we are entitled to, in fact, see your plan, a draft of your plan, if there's, I call it a plan, but whatever the analysis is, municipality by municipality, what they're doing, that their certification is certifying, that they are furthering, that furthering should be pursuant to some plan. I'm not trying to be, I was like a hard ass here, but it seems that we've been through months and months of very difficult situations. We have a monitor that's ongoing. The monitor may even ask us as we do this process, so asking for certification, but is it not unreasonable, in a sense, to back up that certification that they may or may not want to do? What's your plan? Don't just certify that you do. We want to see the basis of your certification. I know this maybe can't be done in 2 days, but frankly, the administration, the old administration, new administration now has had a couple of months. It seems to me if we're lessons learned, we need to be pretty tough. As much as we want this, as Mr. Ryan said, this is good money, it's great projects, we want it to go out, but at the same time, if we're not going to go so far as indemnification, that may be a little too tough, but asking for a certification and the plan or the thinking on the basis of which that certification is made, I think we should ask for that.
All
Yeah, I mean, no, we don't want to. There's a lot of other projects on here that aren't affected by the settlement, so we want to make sure those go through.
Right.
So I think the combination of the certification and a memo from the planning department or the county executive's office that, you know, we have done the following due diligence to confirm the accuracy of our certification. This is where we are with each of these municipalities. Mm-hmm.
Mr. Pinner.
I thought the resolution was for the 2010 funds to be distributed and acted upon appropriately with regard to this settlement agreement and an agreement by the locality is for 2010. And certainly we ought to notify all the districts for the 2011 funds for which they've applied, which we have granted funds for, that this would be coming up. And I think that in the future we have to get that other signature on a resolution. But I thought in terms of this settlement that we're looking for prior to disbursement of funds an agreement by the community. That certainly gives them adequate time to adopt a resolution saying that in regards to the settlement agreement we will move to be furtherance of it, and then to receive these funds, this is our resolution. I mean, we're not going to disperse these funds on March 1st. We're going to be settling the agreements somewhere along the line in A and C.
Listen, we're going to be asked by the monitor to withhold legacy money, to withhold this use, to lose all this leverage. Seems to me a minimum leverage. If we can't ask the municipality for their plan of fair, affordable housing, that's a lot less painful than withholding the bomb squad.
Marty, my only question is, I agree with you in terms of getting agreements and stuff, but I didn't understand that to be our purpose of approving this by March 1st, that we were going to sign it, then we were going to request a written resolution and an adoption of a fair housing, you know, implementation from the community prior to receipt of 2010 funds, and let them know that.
But what is it we're asking you? What is it we're asking municipalities?
That's why I'm asking the question. I'm not a lawyer.
We agree to certification. I'm just suggesting.
Back and forth. Look.
I'm just suggesting on top of certification, some kind of proof of the plan. That, you know, that's. I'm just. I'm making that suggestion.
Well, that's certainly not going to work for the first of March. At what point do we want to put this into an implementation process of our own?
Yes.
I'm not sure that again, given what we've got, we've got a committee report here today, which we could conceivably, and I'm going to at least recommend that we do this today, subject to being withdrawn if the if the material that we're asking for isn't ready by the end of the week. Mr. Ryan,
Follow up on one other.
Yeah, go ahead.
Am I correct in saying there may be some excess funds this year, Norma?
Yeah.
There may be some excess funds this year.
Yeah, but that's
was there were there extra funds appropriated in 2010 that perhaps a community who has applied for might have had some changes, not any particular community, would be notified that to meet their goal of X project in a MOD certified area, you know, they may apply for an amendment.
July,
next year.
Okay.
This July.
Okay.
Mr. Ryan.
Thank you, Mr. Burton. I guess going back to the closest point of where this entered the conversation was Mr. Rogowski's good point about indemnification. It seems to me, just if Norma could clarify this, we're talking about disbursements to communities under this program at the earliest in May, right?
Correct.
That's the earliest. Okay. So we have time to make a decision as to what types of language we would like in the act that we're going to pass. We have time to deal with exactly what the nature of the item would be from the municipality that we would insist upon before disbursement. That could be some form of indemnification agreement. And then you start running into some uncharted territory, and it is, you know, how do you determine what pulls the trigger, causing the requirement for a community to indemnify Westchester County, and it also branches into the whole discussion about right now in this transition period, what are the expectations of the communities? Now, I believe Norma properly describe what the expectations are right now. Right now, we are very early on. We're not in year 11 of playing by enforced rules. We are in like month one of playing by the enforced rules, the rules that we have agreed to under the settlement. So early on, we have someone made the point about, well, did they pass the model code yet? Well, if the rules say they don't have to pass it until December of
11, January 30th, 2011,
then of course that's a kind of okay, fine. You're talking that you're going to do it. Well, we'll see. In fact, whether or not your locality does that. What are the other rules that they're required to abide by right now? They're required to be talking and helping to identify. And I know that one of the things that when we had the administration sitting down this end of the table, one of the things we asked them was, we asked them about the implementation plan and how detailed it would be. And we all kind of sat in this room and agreed that this would be very fluid. It required details, but it was quite likely that this would evolve over time. One of the things we talked about last week was the Fed's response to us, the lack of detail. You need to be more specific as to what you are doing. So right now, and the whole thing about low-hanging fruit, I'm not going to go into all that, but the point is, right now, are the communities that we're talking to, and the ones that will be next up in the batter's box, are they going to be playing by the rules that are in place right now, early on in this transition period? And probably, my guess would be, anyone that's been talked to right now is trying to do their best to do that. But I think that they too will start to develop a history. And what they allows them to pass go right now in these early months, if there is nothing that they can lay on the table that shows that they are really working to affirmatively further fair housing, that's going to be very clear as their history under the program starts to develop and starts to take on more detail. So early on, it's tough for us to make these assessments. We're going to have an easier time evaluating what communities can show as they get deeper into this. And you know, when all was said and done, you don't want more said than done. Well, at some point, when all is said and done, they're going to have to be showing what they've done. And that's going to change as we get deeper into this period of time that we have to perform under the settlement.
Okay, anyone else?
Thank you, Ms. Chairman. So the questions I heard you allude to, trying to pass something out today, it sounded to me that there's a time frame that is a concern, which is, I guess, March 15th, but we do have a board meeting next week on March 1st. So it seems to me that it would make sense to get the language as discussed this morning as part of that document, and then have that to be out on the board meeting for the 1st of March, as opposed to dealing with that in today's session.
We're certainly not going to try to do it tonight. I think the question is, do we want to pass our committee report so that we can bring this forward on the 1st of March today, or the next time we would have an opportunity for a joint meeting with Budget and Appropriations would be next Monday.
We are programmed to meet next Monday, so I don't think the members would mind coming together again.
If we're prepared to do that, subject to the one piece of work which we have assigned to legislators Nona and Avenatti, along with the county.
And has Mr. Murkowski to join us also?
I think Mr. Williams has been very involved. Also.
But whatever is necessary, I think we'd leave it to the two of you bring
and
in any other members. I think that would be appropriate. If our feeling is that we can get a quorum of both committees on Monday, then we would be in a position to pass it at that point. Is that satisfactory to everyone?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think Ms. Drummond, in her initial remarks before I came in, gave a description of the parameters of where CDBG funds can be spent. I've always been very concerned because part of the lawsuit claimed that we didn't use CDBG funds to force the housing in certain communities. At the same time, I was understanding that CDBG funds couldn't be used for those purposes in those very communities. Mm-hmm. Could you, just for information purposes, explain once again how you determine the parameters of where CDBG can be spent?
Sure. Actually, the federal government determines the parameters where it can be spent. The federal government identifies every single block group in this county and tells us that only the lowest quartile is where we can spend CDBG money as areas to qualify a project by an area. That means that if you rank all of the municipalities based on the percentage of them as low mod, actually, I should have said it in reverse. It's the areas with the highest percentage of low mod. The top 25%, the top quartile of all of our block groups, are the areas that HUD defines as areas that qualify for CDBG money. So there are block groups in most municipalities that qualify. Some entire municipalities, like Portchester and Peekskill, qualify, okay, just based on the population within those block groups. On top of that, when you look at the eligible activities that HUD allows under the CDBG program, the construction of new housing is not an eligible activity. You can't use these funds to build housing. You can use them to rehabilitate existing housing, yes. You can use it to acquire property. You can use it for the demolition or clearance of property. You can use it for site work. You can use it to create a parking lot or landscaping or something like in furtherance of some other activity on that site that benefits some low and moderate income population. So are there activities that could be used in conjunction with the settlement agreement? Yes, there are, but not the construction of affordable housing. And when you have to then factor in the areas that the funding is supposed to be spent by, that's why I laid out for you the top 10 municipalities where we're supposed to be spending more money. Only two of those 10 municipalities qualify in the 31 eligible communities. That's Tarrytown and Tuckahoe. And even those two municipalities only qualify under 7C. So really, the CDBG and the settlement agreement are kind of at cross purposes, because CDBG is supposed to be benefiting people really in the more diverse, more economically challenged areas of the county.
It's more of an infrastructure type program.
It is. It's much more a sticks and bricks program. That's why only 15% of the funds can be used on to benefit to provide services. It really is meant to be helping, not to run a program at the nonprofits agency, but to help them keep their building up and running, okay? To help them keep the infrastructure there to provide their services.
Okay. I think we've done this to death. I think we know what we're doing. We will meet again at 10 o'clock on Monday morning, the 1st of March, to pass this out. Is there any further business to appear before the committee?
Besides the addition of the amendment to the act, we also need the memorandum on that.
Correct.
We have those two.
Thanks.
Anyone else?
Albert.
Minutes. Have you all seen the minutes? Because I'm not sure we passed them out. The ones with the RF on the front.
Mr.
Chair. Someone in the back had a hand up.
Yes.
Mr. Nunziata.
I really.
Okay.
Mr. Nunziata, I bounced past right past you, so I want to take a shot.
As long as different legislator, obviously, so
hopefully
this
I understand. So you're looking for me to confirm which colleges or projects that are going to qualify them. Contract language.
I was told there was an outside consultant from the bank, but nobody seems to know the name.
Right, I got you, because it's actually in there. And then I can also give you the
invitation. Yes, Ms. Grumman, the consultant who's doing the AI, mm-hmm. is that a known name now?
Yes, it's W. Frank Newton, Inc.
From?
Georgia.
Atlanta?
The Atlanta area, Cobb County.
Atlanta area. W. Frank, Georgia?
W. Frank Newton, Inc.
Okay.
And just to follow up on a question from Legislator Abnett, because I was kind of having thoughts along the same lines, is that since the federal government does prescribe the use of the CDBG monies very specifically, new construction, no, but is the renovation of, let's say, for lack of a better word, substandard housing or whatever, getting it up to code and everything, and then putting that up for affordable housing, does that count towards the 700-some-odd units that would be part of the settlement?
you want me to comment on the settlement
Please.
Agreement? Yes, the settlement agreement, 7H of the settlement agreement, actually allows that up to 25% of the 750 units, that would be approximately 187 units, can actually be existing housing that just then gets a deed restriction.
Is that accounted for in the CDBG funds or in the?
No. Is there a prohibition on using CDBG funds for that purpose?
No.
So my point is, again, because I was kind of thinking of that until Legislator Abernathy kind of articulated the question, that is it possible to change the mix so that since all of these stem from applications from various communities, and since those applications are decided upon, I'm going by the letter here, in consultation with members of the County Planning Board, Westchester County Urban County Council, and Community Development Advisory Group, and the subject of a single public hearing, was there any thought that given the kind of emergency situation the county's in, I call it an emergency situation, whenever there's a lawsuit, I always consider it to be emergency, and I'm not a lawyer, by the way, was there any thought to say, okay, before we get to the other CDBG-like applications, maybe we should give priority to shifting some monies to a renovation, rehab, get some units up along, and then kind of take the other applications on a case-by-case basis. In other words, establish a priority based on the lawsuit.
Can I answer that? Sure. Affordable housing was our number one priority, including rehabilitation activities. We actually did consider that, but one of the other requirements under the CDBG program is a spending requirement. We have to, by the 10th month of the program year, we can have no more than 1.5 times our current grant in our line of credit, which means there is a real steadfast spending obligation. By the end of this month, I have to have my letter of credit down to a specific dollar amount, and we've just met it probably as of the first part of last week. So we have to be very careful that, yes, we did consider putting more money toward rehabilitation, and we are, in fact, putting over $600,000 into the pot specifically for rehabilitation, but we have to be careful that we don't put our ability to spend our money in jeopardy because we haven't identified specific properties that need rehab.
It seems the federal government has got the county both ways. Mm-hmm. In other words, has there been any outreach to the federal government to say, look,
right.
I think it's a valid point.
Yeah, I think it is too. I just, I think this is an offline discussion that I think would be appropriate to hold, and I would like to do it because I think it's a very interesting point. I do, however, I appreciate your point. Could you wrap it up for us, Al?
I would say that I'm not posing an academic discussion.
No, you're not.
But there's another section too.
A question about the allocation of funds to help the county get that much more towards its obligation. And if it's instead of $1.845 million under home, which is primarily new construction, as Donna said, maybe more a bigger slice of that $6.378 million. Can be towards the renovation and rehab of housing and say to the federal government, look, can we change the allocation? And since we're the only county singled out of 3,000-some-odd counties in the country, do we have to comply with the usual rules of CDBG? Can we get a little breathing room here? That's all I'm saying, a little bit of negotiation. Not on the terms of the settlement, but how the money is spent.
Laura?
Part of the answer is the $21.6 million that the federal government returned to the county was put into our CDBG account. All of that $21.6 million can be used toward rehabilitation activities or infrastructure or acquisition. So there is plenty of money in the CDBG account right now to be able to help us with rehabilitation activities.
But it has to be programmed through the CDBG process.
And meeting specific
right.
eligible
activities. So I think Al has got the right on target with it. There is money. The question is getting it into the process.
Right.
All right. Fair enough.
All right. With the understanding for budget and appropriations that we'll be meeting jointly on Monday with this agenda item along with whatever else
we close.
Move to adjourn by Mr. Abernathy, second by Mr. Pinto. All in favor?
Aye.
For housing and public and planning, a motion to adjourn.
So moved
by Mr. Grzegorzewski, second by Mr. Harkin. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
And we are adjourned.